State and its honorable court. Be seated. Case number 10-312. Director of Glenn Mark Delgado, appellant. Ms. Shaner for the appellant, Ms. Apperson for the appellate.
Ms. Shaner, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it please the court. The sole issue before the court on appeal is whether or not Mr. Orozco satisfied the burden that he was eligible for the safety valve by a preponderance of the evidence at sentencing. The government, in an effort to persuade the court that Mr. Orozco was not eligible, put on one witness, a Mr. Portillo, who testified that he at all time was in actual possession of a firearm. He also testified that he came into possession at the behest of Orozco, who asked him to get the gun and bring it to a sale of an automobile and a potential sale of the gun. According to Portillo, he was never in the same place as Mr. Orozco. Mr. Orozco was not in the apartment when Portillo went in. Portillo was in a separate vehicle than Orozco at all times. And Portillo never went knowingly to what was the scene of a drug sale. When Portillo arrived at a parking lot, based on his testimony, to pick up Orozco, he remained in a separate car, which he testified was 50 meters, 150 feet, away from the scene of the offense. At some point, Orozco was in the police vehicle, consummating a sale which he had started with an informant some time before. At all times, Portillo was on a telephone in the separate vehicle 150 feet away. He had no visual or verbal contact with Orozco. The informant came to the truck and led Portillo by his hand to the police vehicle where he was seated in the back. Shortly thereafter, the police came, and at that point, they arrested all three individuals. The government argues that Mr. Orozco's plea to be sentenced under the safety valve is defeated by his constructive possession of the weapon, which was on the person and in the possession of Portillo. We argue,
The judgment could be affirmed without finding the defendant in possession of the firearm, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear you.
The judgment could be affirmed without finding the defendant in possession of the firearm.
No, Your Honor. He must be found to be either in actual or constructive possession of the firearm to be disqualified from the safety valve eligibility.
You seem to be leaving out the parenthetical phrase, or induce another participant to do so.
If he induced him to bring him to the scene of the sale, which was 150 feet away from where Portillo was located, as in Henry Sealed case, the two brothers were located close to one another. One was inside a fast food restaurant eating.
Let's just stop with this and the language. And let's suppose that it's a completely independent source that gets Portillo into the vehicle later. Is not Portillo possessing the firearm in connection with the offense? He's been brought to this site 50 yards away at the defendant's behest, right?
150 feet away, yes, Your Honor, 50
yes,
yards.
Yes, 50 yards, yeah.
Yes, but there's nothing that indicates any knowledge on the part of Orozco when he's in this at the scene of the offense.
Any knowledge of what?
I'm sorry?
Any knowledge of what?
That Portillo has brought the firearm into the car. There's no word or deed by Erazzo.
But you aren't contesting the proposition that the defendant gets Portillo to this spot 50 yards away from the site of the drug deal.
No, I am not, Your Honor.
And that he gets him there with the gun.
I am not, Your Honor.
Okay.
You're also not, I don't hear you saying this, you're not contesting that Portillo was a participant in the crime.
Portillo.
In order to qualify, it's the guideline says that possesses a firearm or other dangerous weapon or induce another participant to do so. Now, Portillo was not just sitting, you know, 50 meters away or whatever. He pled guilty to being involved in the drug crime.
Nonetheless, he testified that day that he knew nothing about a drug sale, that he in no way intended to participate in a drug sale, that his only
Why did he plead guilty?
Your Honor, the government impeached the witness based on his guilty plea. He was the government's witness. His testimony, I argued to the trial court, was in many ways incredible. The judge made no findings of fact, but he did make a credibility finding that Mr. Erazzo induced him to bring the gun in the car to the parking lot.
And your theory is that since he, Portillo, lied about one thing, he must have been lying about everything.
I understand that the finder of facts makes credibility findings. I found that based on the testimony of Portillo that his testimony was totally incredible, and I asked the trial judge not to pick and choose and find that where you had such internally contradicted testimony and the government impeached their own witness, I found the witness to be entirely incredible. The only connection of Mr. Portillo to the gun is that of Mr. Erazzo to the gun is Portillo, who denied any involvement in a drug sale or any knowledge about a drug sale, saying that someone he hardly knew called him on someone else's phone and asked him to get the gun to sell.
Who had the drugs? Who had the drugs?
Mr. Erazzo.
And so the drugs are in one car and the guns in the other.
No, this didn't come out at the sentencing hearing, but according to the government's theory, Erazzo got the drugs from Mr. Bautista. Mr. Bautista was in the car with Portillo. He did qualify for the safety valve, and he was sentenced to 40 months.
All right, so you're saying Portillo didn't know anything about a drug sale, but he's got a gun, and the guy he's in the car with has the drugs.
That's the government's theory.
Well, isn't that what you just said?
About yes.
All right. Thanks.
And in this situation, the judge made no written opinion, no written findings of fact. And based on the record, I think the defendant has satisfied the proposition that he would be eligible. If you look at the facts of this case and put them next to the facts of Henry Sealed case.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Apperson.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Jay Apperson for the United States. Your Honor, may I start by the suggestion this is the government's theory. It's not the government's theory. The proffer was made at appellant's plea and joint plea with Portillo. Portillo agreed that the proffer given was 100% accurate. Appellant did not contest any of the proffer. It is contained in the appellant's pre-sentence report as the statement of facts in this case. He objected to no provision of his statement of facts. There is no reference to the other vehicle in which Mr. Bautista carried the drugs in the back of a black truck and where Mr. Portillo, armed with the firearm at the inducement of appellant, was riding literally shotgun in carrying those drugs to this drug deal. The statement of facts reflect nothing about the car being 50 feet away or anywhere far away from the vehicles. They traveled in tandem. Appellant drove his own car alongside in tandem with the truck carrying the drugs and the gun to this drug deal. Appellant got out of his car, met with the undercover in his van, And when the after brief discussion with the undercover officer concerning the drugs, he turned to Batista and says, bring me the shit. And with that direction, Batista reached into the back of the truck, retrieved the drugs, handed it through the window of the undercover car to appellant. At that point, according to the statement of facts, never objected to by appellant, at that point, both Batista and Portilla enter the undercover vehicle. And they go on to pull out the bags of the drugs. But Portilla, armed with the gun, is sitting right behind the UC, the undercover officer, behind the driver's seat of that van. While they count out the drugs, while the CI in the third row of seats in that van hands up $8,000 to the appellant, who starts counting it out, and he says, "I need more money." And that at that point, the undercover officer goes out there. Portilla is involved in this every step of the way. This 150 feet was testified to by him at the evidentiary hearing in an effort to try to diminish, try to help appellant out. The district court did not credit that testimony. To the contrary, on page 33 of the transcript, the district court said, "I am troubled by most of Batista's testimony, some of which I find incredible." Now, in fairness, the court did not say that this particular testimony was incredible, but the only portion of Batista's testimony, the evidentiary hearing, which he credited, were the 2 points in answer to the court's direct question. Did appellant tell you to look under his bed and get the gun? The answer is yes. And the second question by the court, did Portilla tell you to come to to bring that gun to the parking lot? And the answer was yes. Those are the only portions of the Portilla's testimony that the court credited. And I think on this record, Your Honor, there is simply no credible evidence that this car was 50 feet away. There's no credible evidence that Portilla remained in that car and had to be dragged, kicking and screaming, to the drug deal. He was there for one purpose, and that was to protect these drugs. It's a tool of the trade. It's significant that he is the only one of the three co-defendants who was in that van during the drug deal who refused to shake the hand of the undercover officer at the conclusion of the deal. And why is that? Because that shaking of the hand would block that trigger finger. He was prepared to protect these drugs at every step of the way, and he was induced to do so by this appellant. And on this record, appellant simply cannot and has not met his burden. Your Honor, if I will note that we had argued in our brief a harmless error argument. We do not persist in that argument. We recognize that if the safety valve were to be applicable, that appellant would get a recalculated and lower guideline range as a result. But as we have argued, there is no error whatsoever because appellant has not met its burden in this regard, and we ask that the judgment of the court, district court, be affirmed.
Can I ask you a question about something that you didn't raise? And under the safety valve number 4, he can't be an organizer, leader, manager, or supervisor, according to 3B1.1.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it your position that you have to give him the 2-point enhancement under 3B1.1 in order to say,
in other words, if the organizer or leader for the guideline calculations has to be given before the safety valve. I don't think it's at all clear, Your Honor, and it certainly doesn't expressly state that. I think the district court, if this were to be remanded for consideration of the safety, would have to deal with all of the elements, the remaining elements of the safety valve. An appellant would have to then prove to show his eligibility not only for that provision that he was not an organizer or leader, it's his burden for that element as well, but also that by the time of sentencing he truthfully told the government everything. That's another factor, the final one, I believe, on the that would be
number five. Right.
So there are other hurdles appellant would have to make on if it were to be remand. There's no basis for remand because, as we've indicated, the appellant constructively possessed and indeed induced the possession of this gun in connection with the drug trafficking offense.
Okay. Thank you.
I thank the court.
Does Ms. Shaner have any time? Okay.
Your Honors, in the lines of cases defining constructive possession, there has to be some proof that at the time of the possession by the other person that the individual had an ability, an appreciable ability to guide the destiny of the gun. The courts have said that it must be in easy reach and available to protect the user during the offense, and it's less likely that one exercises the right of control over a gun physically held by another. Under the arguments of in the rulings related to constructive possession, and under the ruling in In Re Sealed case, I believe the court must find that Mr. Orozco should have been eligible for the safety valve, that the judge made no findings of facts, and at least on this limited record, that the court must send it back for rulings and findings of facts by the trial judge on facts that are important, such as whether or not the gun, if located 150 feet away from the defendant, was at the scene of the offense.
All right. Ms. Shaner, you were appointed by the court to represent the defendant.
Yes,
we thank you for your help.
Thank you, Your Honor.